Hey Babylonian, this your time serious. We never forget what did happen to us. We never forget what you do to us again.
All right, we'll get started. Are you ready? I am. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight we have a very special show, even though I say that all the time. Tonight the theme is abstinence makes the church grow fondlers. And yes, that's an obvious and high truth. But we're going to do an extension of our old theme shows, rehab for pedophile priests and similar moralizing hypocritical skanks, dunes, and a whole lot. And we'll be on one more week, and then there'll be 2 weeks off. Let's get started with this song by The Seeds. Now, this is one of those re-releases from that period in corporate media as the 60s. And on this particular re-release, they have sort of kind of fucked up a lot of the song ordering and which track is which number. So we're going to see if we got the right number queued up. This is The Seeds, and fun with it. Got a lot of great goodies. So, and doing a million people daily, all of... We'll be right back. Making Love.
It's the last turn to do. We like to dedicate it to society and the world because it still has a message.
In your hands, and let be the children we who fight with all our bravery till only the righteous stand. You see the distant flames, they bellow in the night. You fight in all our names for what we know is right. And when you all get shot and cannot carry on, though you die, la resistance non. You may get stabbed in the head with a dagger or a sword. You may be burned to death, or skinned alive or worse. But when they as my hand bleeds off, you all die, la resistance n'est pas.
Brave Canada! Brave Canada! go for God. Looks like we may be out of luck.
Tomorrow night, we're pretty fucked.
Why did our mothers start this war? What the fuck are they fighting for? When did this song become a marathon?
When Canada is dead and gone, there'll be no more Celine Dion.
The nation shall kick in half and serve it to a pig. And the repress your life and it dies a dickless cheek. But that's the way it goes. In war, you're shot upon. Don't be fine.
We'll be right back. Whoops. Sorry, dear listeners, but there was a technical mishap on my behalf. The CD was back skipping. Several, I don't know, 20 times or something. Maybe 10 times. Back to Reverend Bookburn.
Voices do not to ignore.
You heard the Meat Men doing Pope on a Rope. Before that, Crack Rock Steady 7 did So You Wanna Be a Cop. F Minus did Forced Identity from the soundtrack to the South Park film. Heard Oh Canada, Blame Canada, La Resistance, Good Love, and What Would Brian Boitano Do? And started off with The Seeds doing 900 million people daily, all making love. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live Sunday nights .org. And shows are archived from these 2006 broadcasts, available 24/7 for free at Radio 4 All, numeral 4, radio4all.net. And updates always at reverendbookburn.com. You have Radio Volt, the oriented lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalist or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. If you want to write to the Reverend for feedback to these shows, input to forthcoming themed shows, or to send cool song ideas, birthday announcements, requests for exorcisms or reverse exorcisms, or to have a wedding on The Reverend Is In, or for any reason except spam, unless it's, of course, the really hilarious Jesus spam that has continued to be sent, and of course to send The Reverend's real love, cartoons, or to say that you found something on The Reverend's want list, write to Reverend Bookburn, care of Quail, as in Dan Numnuts Quail, the biggest Reagan, and before George W. Moore, this poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, war criminal Bush. Quail, groups of any channel, since fucking idiot, on QU, at that website, cdc.org, South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, and sexual freedom. Next week on The Reverend Is In, the long-awaited Hitchhiker's Guide Through to CDC.org. Just to check out an article entitled, obtained permission from the Lord to travel backwards in time. Clergy has up to shine. Since that next week's show is going to be like no other 5.5 years of broadcast, because we are going to go back in time. That neither thing. Echo and Betty Tribe, Emma Goldman, the Christian Crusaders, Witchers throughout time, the conquest of Native American, Latin, Korean, and African cultures, and let's see, the witch burnings, J. Edgar Hoover and drag, Richard Nixon, all kinds of fun stuff. And we're still trying to negotiate with the Lord about seeing the Beatles live, but don't know if that's going to happen. So, regardless of time, the Sun and their tour of what we call, and the feet will be Hitchhiker's Guide Through Time Warps, and that will be next Sunday night, October 1st. After that, 2 weeks off. No show for 2 weeks after that, and then we'll be returning on October 24th. Updates, again, at reverendbookburn.com. Let's see, other forthcoming themes include the Ronald Reagan Memorial Cesspool, which will include things that really shit after the late one of the greatest all-time terrorists, as in massacrist of civilians in modern history. Other future themes include Halliburton gives Condi an oilgasm, who can or can back in time next week would be named Would Jesus Do? Democratic Bush Light, Bibles for the Bible, marketing chocolate contraception, petroleum predators, Carl Rove Zayas under probe for his introducing Pastor Horner, great opening of the official White House corporate brothel, recovery for propagandists, pubic property, more stories, wrong, more perverted stories from Mauro Crusaders, and that will be starring W. David Hager, Senator Henry Dennerty, is Kinglick, faith-based star Esther Handel Hyde's retirement party. The Reverend found the Palmias, and Satanic Social Services is faith-based. And but probably on October 24th, we'll do the Human Services Needs the Military Budget. And that will be on October 20th. Yeah, we will do that on October 24th, because there's already a lot of great input, thanks to many of you, for that forthcoming show. So October 24th is Needs the Military Budget. Next week, October 1st, Hitchhiker's Guide Through Time Warp. Tonight, the theme is slavery and many more. Henry Hyde's the Human Service, As for Obvious and High Truth. And what we want to do tonight is take the past theme, Rehab for Pedophile Priest, which we've done, I believe, 3 times. I'm not sure. Take it just a little bit further, and also get in all the other subjects that we need to cover tonight. And, of course, play you more great tunes. You're hearing the Meat Men in the background from their Pope on a Rope CD. And let's see, there's lots of news. Let's see. Some of the stuff is at ReverendBookburn.com, so I'm not going to elaborate too much. But thanks to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, Noam Chomsky's book, Hegemony or Survival, is getting a lot of attention throughout McFondlers. And that is about early astrayance on the corporate media in this, and I use this word loosely, culture. So if you go to chomsky.info, you could share with a link to excerpts of many of his books, including that one. And let's see, former bass player from Pink Floyd, and the band member who wrote a lot of their great and most memorable tracks, that there's strong reliance on others, including the, and left them at some point out, is quite dissed by some in the corporate media because of the very strong anti-Bush content on his current tour. And I believe that they brought back the old Pink Floyd pig to the air at this concert. And even the pig said, impeach Bush somewhere on his ass. So, I guess it's his ass if it's a male pig. And so we went to, in Ebers is on tour now. He was the flies on the Roger Waters tour at ReverendBookburn.com. And check him out, even go and see him if possible. He's, how can you put this, he from that old ensemble after the departure of Syd Barrett. And let's see, in this area they played in Camden, New Jersey on September 16th, and one person who did not like that wrote an letter to the news, say, and encourage people to click on the link. This is the good one. In the Philadelphia and South Jersey area, and probably everywhere else, definitely New York, the corporate media's newspapers are just a hairline away from being like the supermarket tabloids. And of course, they were eager to publish a letter that thoroughly trashed Roger Waters for all of the anti-Bush content. The Reverend wrote a letter in response, and it's highly unlikely to be published, so I'll share it with you. The recent Roger Waters concert letters 922. It was one of the greatest concerts in this area in a long time. No Butters didn't play a narrow song list of only his biggest hits. Rather than resort to rehashing old Pink Floyd songs and nothing more, Waters proved he can provide a good balance of old and new material. The anti-Bush sentiments enhanced the show tremendously, as exhibited by the response of the crowd. Waters is continuing the honorable tradition of people in rock who have social consciousness, such as John Lennon, Bono, Bob Geldof, and Jello Biafra. Waters' current tour reveals that he has as much thought to offer as he did when writing The Wall. Face it, even the last holdouts of the final nation in the world to be deluded about being anything other than madman with power and weapons is finally waking up. The concert served as a reminder of such an awakening instead of being escapist entertainment. Reverend Bookburn, Radio Volta, Philadelphia. All right, so I had my say about that. And let's see. Oh, we're going to have an action plan for Priest. That's going to be one of the differences between this and the old pedophile Priest shows. All right, let's see. What else is in the news? If you go to Dark Lady's website, darklady.com, you can check out a report on the Washington, D.C., Masturbatathon. We talked about that before it happened, and then haven't really checked it out until recently, but we've been in touch again, and I found that she did do a report on the DC Masturbatathon from about a month ago. So if you go to darklady.com, you can check out probably one of the most fun fundraisers that one can do, and I'm still trying to figure out how people pledge. And but you can explore that at darklady.com. Let's see. What else? Didn't see too many movies since last time. Smile, which was pretty good. Pipe Dreams, which was very good. And Bits and Pieces, we were interrupting due to chaos in the household, including but not limited to the animals. Monty Python's Meaning of Life. And Monty Python's Life of Brian. Okay, abstinence makes the church grow fondlers. What would be the response in this, and I use the word loosely, culture, if, say, there were 5,000 perpetrators of pedophilia who were not from the priesthood, but instead were heavy metal guitar players, or skateboarders, or whatever? Can you imagine the response of the great American torchlight-carrying lynch mob any time a kid plugged a guitar into an amp in the garage, or somebody went by on a skateboard, or anyone else who fit the profile? Well, being on a pedestal, Uta Bush, then a green precinct have in enabling these behaviors to not only to get away with their actions, but also to continue to want to be the holy dictators of public policy, to be a Christian version of the Taliban, to fight abortion and birth control rights, to fight against lifestyles and sexual orientation different than them, or at least what they say is different than them. Well, in addition to these freakazoids having anything but the moral high ground, it also raises the question, why is there so many of them, and why are they in the priesthood? And the knee-jerk response to that question is they must have deliberately decided to descend upon the priesthood and go there as a safe avenue for their pathologies.
Don't
And actually, that couldn't be more bullshit. As if there was some grand meeting room of these kinds of freakazoids in which they said, hey, let's not be crossing guards or playground workers or cops. Let's join the priesthood instead. It'll be a safe place to do our thing. Now, and pedophilia continue among that are hated. The problem is that the repression of the church, the repressive culture, the Puritan posturing of the abstinence pushers actually manufactures these monsters. These monstrosities are the product of their own delusions. These people, who are undeniably mentally ill, freely admit that they hallucinate angels, that they hear voices, that they receive divine commands, like the fundamentalists, and they also have the self-illusion that they can maintain a lifetime of abstinence. What could be more stupid? Can we say they're going to go a lifetime without food other than what is absolutely necessary for survival? Such repression is not only unnatural and unhealthy, but it is fuel for mental illness. Now, even the most unfuckable of our species can at least have the illusion that something might happen the following weekend, or in a couple of months, or in a couple of years. Even somebody who resembles Rush Limbaugh or Ann Coulter, they can at least have the illusion of future action. But somebody who, say, about to do time, about to do 10 years, in their head, nothing for 10 years, they start going crazy. And even if they beat people in prison or rape or engage in consensual behaviors, they will swear up and down that they are not gay, that they are not rapists, that they are not all that they actually are, and they will continue to go crazy because pretty much everything in life is cognitive perception, meaning how you perceive life to be, how it's supposed to be. And everybody wants and needs action. And if it's not going to happen, or if you know that there's no chance of it happening for the next 5 or 10 years, that's going to be one more factor in you wigging out. Now, add to that a lifetime, nothing, ever, no action, never, for life, because I'm a priest or a nun. I will never do it, ever. And by the way, in these circles of whack jobs, doing the solo is just as bad as being with the opposite gender, or the same gender, or, I don't know, an object that you inflate with air. All of that is bad, 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 according to these people. So they do what their brothers in the evangelicals and fundamentalists do, which is to sneak and be moralizing hypocrites, or they become these monstrosities that prey on kids, a secretive dark side that manifests itself in the ugliest, the inhuman of manners. And the abstinence policies of the church actually creates these fondling, and in the real world, they have an abusive mind. first, the Reverend is talked out, needs some water, and is ready to play some more tunes, including some spoken word. But first, let's play a track from The Gang of Four. This is entitled, I Found That Essence Rare. And we're going to deal with that a little more when we come back. But
know that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Army was used in a war operation against the American people?
Yes!
Right near here, up in Humboldt County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove, get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy in this war? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein. Not Earth First or even the Spotted Owl. No. The enemy. They called out the army to put down secretly so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up And then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread eagle. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes. Or people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it. All to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forest we have left anywhere in this country from being chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and the Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer for centuries has been right under our nose. Grow more pot. If we're serious about saving the earth, saving the ozone, and our freedom to go about saving the earth and the ozone, and we should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Times or Normal, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. They could direct you to one, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing and textiles, and almost all the world's rope. According to none other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture, you can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plants as you can from an acre of trees. And instead of chopping down all the redwoods in Humboldt County and turning Northern California and Oregon and Washington into Appalachia or the Sahara Desert, if you do it with hemp plants, you can just grow another crop a few months later and make more paper. At one quarter the cost of making paper from wood pulp and only one fifth the pollution. The ancient Romans knew this and grew it. Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot. And we did, too. Guess what Levi jeans were originally made out of? And guess what American flags used to be made out of? And guess what the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written on? And if that's too unchristian for you, guess what they made Gutenberg and King James Bibles out of? Guess what you can use to power a car? Can get at least four times as much cellulose to make gasohol or methanol from hemp stems as he can from a corn stalk, which along with solar energy would be a great way to avoid dying for oil in Saudi Arabia. In the 20s and 30s, most American cars and farm machinery had the option of running on gas or on methanol. Most racing cars still do run on methanol. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew cannabis on their plantations and smoked it, too. In the 1760s in the American colonies, you could even be jailed for not growing pot, because that was part of the key to become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, a substitute for money, from 1630 clear up until the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans, and it's cheaper than soybeans, too. Or so says the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 34 states. Used to treat glaucoma and pain caused by cancer. You can digest more protein out of a hemp seed than a soybean seed. It's even shown some signs of being able to combat herpes. And guess what kind of a parachute Mr. Drug War Junta Man himself, George Bush, used when he bailed out of that bomber in World War II? Hemp was illegal by then, but farmers were briefly ordered to grow it again in this country for the war effort and all, and the U.S. Army had their own stash all along in the colonies in the Philippines. So, how did everything get turned around so damn bad? Doesn't it strike you as a little dumb that we burn oil and choke ourselves and chop down all our trees and ruin innocent people's lives by branding them criminals and throwing them in jails or sending them off to drug camps or taking all their property and selling it before they're brought to trial? In the process, making crack and heroin cheaper and easier to get than pot. Why do we do this when we don't have to? Meanwhile, the police chief of L.A., Daryl Gates, gets front page approval for telling a U.S. Senate committee that pot smokers should be shot on sight. Because smoking pot is treason, because after all, it's illegal. Why was marijuana cracked down on? And why was it done so violently? Well, ready? In 1936, Popular Mechanics magazine hailed the invention of a new machine to process hemp, predicting that marijuana hemp would once again become the world's largest cash crop. This did not sit at all well with people like Hearst Paper Manufacturing or Kimberly-Clark or other cutthroat multinationals who happened to have large timber holdings. Didn't sit too well with tobacco barons, for obvious reasons. And it sure as hell didn't sit too well with our old buddies DuPont. Hemp processing uses only one-fifth the chemicals needed to process wood pulp, and DuPont had just patented a new wood pulp sulfide process. And DuPont's patented plastic fibers had just passed up hemp as the number two fiber next to cotton, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the last thing the big drug companies wanted was to lose their share of the ever-lucrative disease industry market to more affordable medicine made from marijuana or other natural ingredients because, check this out, you can't own and make money off a patent for medicine in this country unless the medicine has chemicals in it. If it's all natural ingredients, you can't patent it. Maybe that's why we don't have access to a cure for cancer or AIDS, or why the health food store I go to keeps getting harassed by federal authorities for selling herbal medicines. Meanwhile, guess who owns Congress? So, marijuana was outlawed in 1937. And they fanned the racism fires, playing the racism card just like they do when they want to crack down on rock and roll or rap or hip-hop or something like that. They said that smoking marijuana might cause you to fall under the influence of listening to jazz. And I believe it was even said on the floor of Congress that marijuana had to be banned because smoking it might make a black man look at a white woman twice. And let's not forget that U.S. Treasury Department-funded documentary film called Reefer Madness. So marijuana was outlawed as devil weed in 1937. Only 53 years ago, it was legal. Need I say more on why our beloved fearless leaders go out of their way to censor our access to information so damn much? Can you imagine the mass outrage if this kind of stuff ever really got out? And people knew that this so big drug problem they keep reading about and hearing about is being caused by the government themselves? And people knew how easily each one of us individually could turn our ecological and human crisis around without resorting to Nazi bullshit like oil wars and drug wars just by saying no to George Bush? And people knew that the very companies that provide us with such crucial conveniences as Kleenex, paper towels, and junk mail have systematically and brutally rearranged every single one of our lives so that we are literally wiping our ass with our own future. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, I'll tell you, I do feel kind of funny saying all this because I used to be a pothead and I hate smoking the stuff and the whole low-energy stoner deadhead vibe that comes with it. But you don't need to smoke pot to realize that the real drug problem in this country is not the drugs. And we can help solve our drug problems, crime problems, environmental problems, even our racial problems, if we say no to George Bush and get together and grow more pot. Yeah. Ever thought of what a sadomasochistic culture we really have? How much of our emotional pulse really revolves around pain? How many people cling to grim religions based on torture? Afraid to break the cycle out of fear of the unknown. It's so much more secure just to hate your own guts. Break down, kneel down, confess, and think of all the horrible things that are going to happen to you if you don't confess. It's a crime to open your eyes. It's a sin to look around and explore too far. Threats from above keep people whipped. Sadomasochism on a stick. And what do we talk about at parties to get attention? Pleasure? Love? We talk about pain. Like showing off the busted leg to the chums in the locker room or at the ski lodge. Or, look at all these gnarly scars I got when I wiped out on my skateboard. War wounds. Pain. The proof of purchase of adventure. I crashed and burned, therefore I am alive. When was the last time you heard someone reminisce about the orgasm they had the other day? What kind of reaction do you think they'd get anyway? So far I hear, or say something like that at a department store, it might be, ooh, pervert, guards, take him away. Or in the ever more uptight sectors of our more political than thou underground scene, you might get the reaction, ew, sexist. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of what hip-hop artists like Ice-T or 2 Live Crew or the Ghetto Boys have to say about women, but I do think Ice-T has an interesting point. Imagine what life would be like if we all felt relaxed enough and comfortable around each other that a person of either sex could go up to somebody else of either sex that they secretly found attractive or radiant, lovable, in need of a hug, whatever, you know, male, female, female, male, 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 female, female. Just go up and come right out and say, hey, let's get butt naked and fuck. And if the other person responded by saying, No, I don't want to. It wouldn't be such a big, tense, shattering, horrible, degrading deal because the stakes wouldn't be raised so damn high that rejection wouldn't hurt so bad that the other person couldn't just immediately say, oh, okay, that's fine, let's just be friends then. Sure would eliminate a lot of uptight, stupid games. And that, to me, is why so many artists and rap and rock musicians who deal openly with sex and sexuality are being treated as political subversives. But no, you talk about that stuff just about anywhere today. What do you want to bet that the other people around you would kind of cringe and grow a little uncomfortable, maybe smile and go, hee, 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 hunting frantically in the corner of their eye. Won't someone change the subject to something, anything else? It's just too taboo to talk pleasure in this arena. The person who does receives the pain of being shunned. Thus, the lesson is implanted. Fear is the teacher. Next time, think and feel in ways the others can relate to. Tales of wigging out on drugs won't make other people quite so jealous. Don't fight the current or you could be swept out to sea. Remember what sells versus what is untouchable. Avoid the hurt that comes with feeling icky. Filter your feelings through our orbit of pain.
Catholic girl
in that little white dress.
is the central scrotumizer. Joe had a girlfriend named Mary. She used to go to the church club every week. They'd meet each other there, hold hands, and think pure thoughts. But one night, at the social club meeting, Mary didn't show up. She was sucking cock backstage at the armory in order to get a pass to see some big rock group for free.
Hey, 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 all you girls in these industrial towns.
There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus, Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammeds and those and more of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. To have any clothes on, you're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is dead, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If the sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate. Let the heathen spill theirs on the dark.
I've never been one of to be alone, time is
worth. Make pay for each sperm that can't be found.
Every sperm is wanted. Every sperm is good. Every sperm is needed in your neighborhood.
In the Taoist moment, still there's just anyone. race cars is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic. What's grease lightning?
Grease lightning.
Go, go, go! We'll get some fresh nails in the 30-inch fizzle. Yeah! A pellet of gas, but you don't
from you can make the day so much better.
Just heard the Rehabs doing Freddie My Love. Fighting Animals did Rock and Roll Is Here to Stay. The Larry Birds did Blue Moon. Fred Mert did Greased Lightning. Those songs are from a double release, Grease, the not-so-original soundtrack from the motion picture, which is every song from Grease plus the other 50 songs done by punk bands. Before that, you heard Monty Python doing Every Sperm Is Sacred from the soundtrack of it, Girls. Jello Biafra did two spoken word tracks, Grow More Pot and Lost Orgasm from the I Blow Minds for a Living, his third spoken word CD release, and started off with Gang of Four doing I Found That Essence Rare. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is abstinence makes the church grow fondlers, and it sure does. And we've been talking about how the church itself manufactures such freakazoids due to their own repression, due to their own moralizing hypocrisy, their own deep, dark secrets, and their own culture of repression, which not only is a threat to everybody's freedoms, since they spread their Taliban-like influence on lawmakers and fellow moralizing hypocrites in Congress, but also it means that they are creating a false culture in which their pathologies manifest themselves in the ugliest of manners. So, what is to be done with these freakazoids? Well, yes, some have been caught. Some have seen a degree of punishment, even for people on a pedestal, or at least as much as people like that are going to see consequences for their actions. But it is time for an action plan. It is time to say that they need to be introduced or reintroduced to the world of adult sexuality and adult erotica. So we don't just want them to take down their posters of the Home Alone 1 movie with Macaulay's mouth wide open, or the early Olsen stuff, but we want them to be what everybody can be, which is a healthy and balanced person, rather than being in denial that they're sexual beings, to put up posters of an adult of either or both genders to whom they find attractive, and to put those adults on their walls. I don't care if it's an ancient Farrah Fawcett poster. I don't care if it's a poster of Brad Pitt. I don't care who it is, as long as it's an adult-aged person who consented to being photographed for the poster. Or clippings. Hell, they could clip the local department store catalog. It doesn't matter. But they need an action plan. But more than just simple acts of being introduced into adult sexuality. They need an action plan that goes a step further than what we have discussed in the Rehab for Pedophile Priest shows. We want them now to eschew the phony value systems that led to their pathologies in the first place, to say, we're not only going to discontinue being Taliban clones with our phony sets of values and morals, but we're going to be real people, and we're going to be real about our needs, and we're going to accept the sexual part of our beings as part of the whole of our being. So their minds, their thoughts, their ideologies, their lifestyles, their food and music preferences, their movie preferences, their sexuality, all part of the complete whole, not to be repressed, hidden, denied, or transformed into some kind of monstrosity, into healthy beings. So, bottom line, stop fucking with everybody else's life and rights, and stop being freakazoids who victimize others. Accept your own sexuality and start living like a sane and rational person who is healthy and balanced. Not that I know too many people who are necessarily healthy and balanced, but at least people who are in the direction of it, who know what they want, even if it's unreachable or completely reachable, and are at least in the direction of pursuing their wants and their needs, as well as concerning themselves with a better world and letting their lives leave a mark for the better instead of the shit stain that is being left as a mark from the lives of these kinds of clergy people and political leaders. Abstinence makes the church grow fondlers. Abstinence-only education does nothing but add problems, because it does not give people the education that they need regarding safer practices, regarding disease, regarding unintended pregnancies. They need information on contraception, abortion, emergency contraception, and the morning after. Are you 486, or the abortion pill, as some call it? All of this is information, and people need a full range of information, and then they can make their own choices. These are radical sounding concepts, but they are really the only concepts that are consistent with any kind of pretense of democracy or diversity. So, we're going to lose all this abstinence bullshit. It's phony anyway, and when the Reverend goes back in time, we're going to go back to the very year when the priests may not marry ruling was in effect. Okay, what else is going on? The phone's been ringing. People have been telling me stuff. Some of this is going to have to wait. Okay, if you tuned in late, next week is Hitchhiker's Guide Through Time Warps, in which the Reverend, permitted by the Lord, will, in fact, travel back in time, and that will be fun and exciting. And let's see, no show for 2 weeks after that, and then coming back October 24th to do Human Services Need the Military Budget. Updates always at ReverendBookburn.com. Sadly, 73-year-old, I believe he's 73 now, recording and touring artist Willie Nelson on his tour bus, and a lot of people on tour with him, were busted and charged with having marijuana and meaning of Frank Zappa, the Catholic of this. And ReverendBookburn.com to what Bill Maher had to say about it at Huffington Post, and that's worthwhile. Probably the best written piece I've seen on the subject. Can you fuckers leave Willie Nelson alone? It's bad enough you don't pursue enough of the hate crimes. It's bad enough that despite the billions of tax dollars that go into the fatherland security budget, you couldn't even be bothered with the threats and actions from anti-abortion terrorists. If they're Christian terrorists, they don't seem to be of much concern to these fatherland security buffoons. It's bad enough that you disregard so many subjects that could conceivably make you measurably worthwhile and worth public funding. You have to harass Willie Nelson, and for the lamest of reasons. We don't know what to do about it except to pray to the Lord. Lord, Willie Nelson and his touring crew were busted for pot and shrooms. Lee, Lord, this is Reverend Bookburn asking you why these Gestapo types and descendants of the Gestapo would stoop so low as to continue their repression and their behaviors that have caused the overflowing of prisons, not with pedophile priests and violent criminals, but with people like Willie Nelson, who do not belong there. Why create all these legal problems for somebody whose only crime is to occasionally record a bad song? And he's had some good ones too. So, Lord, please lead these Gestapo types away. Rooms, their tour bus. There's a link in a recent away from Willie Nelson, away from Willie Nelson, and possibly on the road to someday becoming people who do something worthwhile in their lives. We pray to thee, Lord. Thank you. This is Reverend Bookburn from Radio Volta. All right. Let's see. Getting talked out again. So let's see what we need to cover and then get back into the music. All right. We don't have Mr. Ed tonight. Because I think because it was raining, he takes a bus here, and so he didn't want to come. If you want a good laugh, go to bushislord.com, which is actually extremely funny. And be sure to check out the Reverend's friend, Tim, at priestsgonewild.com. And if you missed earlier, check out the Masturbate-a-thon report from Dark Lady at darklady.com. As always, check out Dr. Susan Block's blog at drsusanblock.com/blog, and the Reverend is always there adding to her commentaries. All right, it's not posted yet, but I think it's going to be posted as a section at ReverendBookburn.com. Not just the posting, their repressive behaviors from everybody who's like Williams. And you may have noticed I learned how to make things actual links the last handful of postings. But in addition to the audio archives page, in which there are about a dozen shows available 24/7 for free, in addition to audio archives and the last predictions page I did for, I think, 2005, and the Reverend's Living Will, there will be an updated want list, which is in two categories, priority and not priority. Not priority is a mile long. And priority is stuff that is well rewarded. So, let's see. I'll give you some titles. But of course, the highest priority of all is an uncut version, DVD or VHS, of Chords of Fame, the documentary about the life of the late folk singer Phil Oakes, the one Bob Dylan started off by impersonating. A DVD version of the film King of Hearts. The funniest little 5 or 10 minute short ever done, entitled He May Be Dead, But He's Still Elvis. An uncut version of Damned in the USA. Uncut meaning it includes a Lou Reed song. And a lot of Damned in the USA is about censorship and centers around Reverend Donald Wildman. And Lou Reed sings, changes Walk on the Wild Side to Walk on Wildman's Side. And I think Wildman sued, and when it was in the theaters, you couldn't see the song or something like that. Or the first version of the video, you could song, but the Reverend wants the song. Yes, an episode of Miami Vice that actually had social consciousness and value, entitled Stone's War, with special guest G. Gordon Liddy, and that actually did a fantastic job addressing Reagan's involvement with the Contra terrorists of Central America. The coolest children's book ever from the 80s that was very positive about the environment and animals, entitled Barba Papa's Ark. Really, Barba was everything. Barba Mama, Barba Papa. Naked Truth, Exposing the Deceptions About the Origins of Modern Religions, DVD. DVD version of Sex, Drugs, and Democracy. DVD cover-up behind the Iran-Contra affair. Either video or audio, Joy Ryder and Avis Davis, I that know how to put up, and get the preferably video, 1970, out on, and it's only like 7 minutes, and the Reverend 9, and spoofs that the Reverend loves, the Reagan Speaks Drugs, and that's Robinet years later under the names Heaven Only Knows and Farting Preacher, that on DVD, Merchants of Cool on DVD, and of course, the July 1967 issue of Sepia Magazine. I think we've been asking for that from the very first show. S-E-P-I-A, July 67 issue of Sepia Magazine, with a cover story about Bill Baird from ProChoiceLeague.org. All right. Let's see. Definitely getting talked out, so we're going to play a song, new Capital Steps release, that has all kinds of great songs directed at the Bush regime. This release is entitled I'm So Indicted, and let's play a very cute little song entitled, oh, where the fuck is it? John Bolton Goes to the UN. First we'll let this part of the song. You're still hearing the punk version of all the Grease songs in the background. All right, from Capital Steps, I'm So Indicted CD. This is John Bolton Goes to the UN.
I'm John Bolton. As you may have read, if you slack-jawed bunch of mouth breathers can read,
A lot of people say I lack the interpersonal skills to be ambassador to the United Nations. People are concerned because I once had a room full of visitors at the State Department reduced to tears. Was I too hard on these Ukrainian orphans? Yeah, maybe. But in an effort to make me seem more courteous and increase my personal skills, we're launching a new campaign. So shut up and listen or I'll have you killed. The campaign is called Up Your Opinion, which I will outline for you now. At the UN, number one, my new motto will be, don't want to be bombed back to the Stone Age, you godless heathen American haters, then vote with us. Please. Number two, each tirade will now contain 20% less of the F word. And three, I will no longer insist that Darth Vader's theme be played when I enter the room. So look, if you want some namby-pamby globalist who worships at the altar of the UN, then I'm not your cup of tea. But if you think countries like Liechtenstein, St. Lucia, are getting a little big for their britches and need to be pimp-slapped every now and then, then I'm your man. John Bolton! Because you can't spell unpopular without UN.
V-V-5-5-4-4-4. Who is the guy? Even Bush was calling dumb. Michael Brown. Michael Brown. Got shot down. That FEMA clown. We knew he'd resign. How bad can you be?
Why is everybody always...
Also have been put on the internet from the...
...in whole society and stepped in horse poop with this emergency. Michael Brown, Michael Brown, wears a frown and got flushed down. And after he's gone, he still has no clue.
I did just as well as the Three Stooges could.
Who saw a city level flat? Who did the media laugh at? Who tried to blame a Democrat? Yeah, who?
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Thousands with no jobs and stuck in a gym. Each one was way more qualified than him. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown.
Ask around.
Ask around.
Ran this clown.
He ran that clown.
Right out of town.
Right out of this town.
But what the resume is impossible, we'll see.
Bobby Bush's next Supreme Court nominee.
Deep Throat by Dr. Seuss. All the powerful and wealthy loved Nixon a lot, but Deep Throat and the FBI building did not. Deep Throat hated Nixon and his men who were cruder. He hated each Colson and Dean and McCruder. He hated John Mitchell. He wished he were dead. He hated the crew cut on Haldeman's head. And why did he hate Nixon's men, hate them all? He thought that his salary was two sizes too small. Now Hoover is dead. They brought in some new guy. It should have been me. He's not FBI. They passed me over, once told the press. I look better than Hoover in heels and a dress.
Came the Arabian.
So because I then came the trouble. Thought, sat back and watched, and he thought. And he got an idea. An awful idea. Deep Throat had a wonderful, awful idea. So they chose a loser. It's my turn to choose. We'll see how they like being made front. Burglars were caught, mail demanded, and silences. And Deep Throat, he walked page new quarters, said he had good. One was Carl Bernstein, the other Bob Wood. Word. And he met them in secret, in parking garages, in sewers, in tunnels, whilst getting massages. And he swore them to silence by oath and signed no, to never reveal who was really Deep Throat. And the president fell, and the years passed on by. And people still wondered, hey, who was that guy? was that deep throat? So we learn. But Woody's silent, as also did Burr. Steam. Then Woodward got rich, writing Dead's exposés in impenetrable prose that could stop cosmic rays. And Bernstein, not seen much, the reason's well known. He works at a Walmart outside of Bayonne. Now Deep Throat is old, and his mind tender, and the grandkids would like jet skis and a new Honda.
Let's spill Grandpa's beans, get him to admit it. Don't worry, he won't even know that he did it.
So the secret is out. Now that's ancient history. So we called to rip something out. Who when dates to wander. When it was a mystery.
Well, I heard that other countries are down on the U.S., a land of mass consumption, our lives filled with excess. But my daddy wasn't fighting Normandy that day for the right to drive a Hyundai. I refuse to live that way. And I'm proud to be an American who gets just five MPG. Though I live alone, the car I own can seat 103. I'll gladly park so close to you. When you pull out, you can't see. I'll never trade my Escalade. God bless my SUV. I'm no old man, but hey, I'll get there live. So don't y'all pester me with questions like, oh, what would Gandhi drive? You won't catch me at Starbucks if I need a drink or a snack. When I bought this ship, she came equipped with a Starbucks in the back. Proud to be an American with a car that fits my rear. The cash I put down would have been a town in some year. You wanna send birthday card? Well, check that address with me. It's when I'm on the road, got my own zip code just for my SUV.
Okay, everybody.
We heard there just might be a brand new terrorist in town. Let's hear what this extremist says. Click around your cable dial, you're bound to hear the sound. He's put a fatwa on the Venezuelan prez, and here's to you.
Now the road has congestion, and Amalia Flores
doesn't even watch your show. No, no, no. God's ticked at you, Reverend Robertson, but heaven holds a place for those who pray. You'll go away. Hey, hey, hey. We'd like to learn a little bit about you for our files. We'd like to put your TV show on mute. You're our greatest proof against intelligent design. Tell us once again, just who would Jesus shoot? What's that you say, Reverend Robertson? Jesus loves you if you're not a hoe. Ho, ho, mo, thou shalt not kill, Reverend Robertson, except brain cells you're murdering so slow. When people watch your TV show.
Thank you.
fellow Americans, tell you, it's been a tough time. Tough time for myself. Tough time for people in my administration, in my cabinet, my cabinet.
Jesus does.
I gotta.
Dolora Hoare, and I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them on TV, boring, and pandering to all the special interests, like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class, makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long-suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man. Well, that'll warn you when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It is time for Asshole of the Week. Sunday, September 24th, 2000, at RadioVolta.org and updated at ReverendBookburn.com. 2006, first, I runner up. Our runner-up to Asshole of the Week is, from Washington Borough, New Jersey, Reverend Robert Ascalise. Reverend Robert Ascalise from St. Joseph Catholic Church has, for a 5-year period, scammed his church people out of over $600 by using fake names to announce as winners in their raffles, and then pocketing the money. So these people, when they don't have to worry about their kids being safe around this fuckhead, and the fact that their leaders are leading them into the dark ages, now have to contend with Reverend Robert Ascalise scamming over $600,000 in a 5-year period. Reverend Robert Ascalise of Washington Borough, New Jersey, you are the runner-up to Asshole of the Week, and that means that somebody has to top that to be this week's special recipient. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is Barclay Civic Association in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, also close to the Philadelphia area. The Barclay Civic Association is a business conglomerate that is banding together not because of crime or the deteriorating we know it, but to stop a video store that is inclusive of adult selections that the priests could benefit from, and have been having meetings and are having another meeting this coming week to stop the store because we don't want it in our community. Hey, where's our asshole sounds? We need the fart sounds. First Cheech from Cheech and Chong. and broadcast to the for-all.tv of the world as something that... After the building was purchased, after a contract... That's better. When the basement was... After the work and labor and energy and all the money put into it, they want to screw this business. So Barclay Civic Association, you are asshole of the week. I've heard enough of the fart sounds. You heard Ms. T from Radio Left doing Dr. Lara Whore. The Damned did Anti-Pope. Superchunk didn't. Capital Steps did John Bolton Goes to the UN. Michael Brown, Deep Throat, God Bless My SUV, and Here's to You, Reverend Robertson, The Rehabs. Oh no, that was the last set. We started off with the Capital Steps. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Abstinence Makes the Church Grow Fondlers. It sure has. Next week, the theme is Hitchhiker's Guide Through Time Warps. Yes, the Lord did consent to the Reverend going back through time, and we'll have fun with that. That's next week, October 1st. No show for two consecutive Sundays after that. And then we're returning October 24th for Human Services Need the Military Budget. Updates always at ReverendBookburn.com. Write to me, quail@sjcdc.org. 2006 Reverend Bookburn shows at Radio Numeral 4, radio4all.net. And we'll play one closing song and get out of here. This is by the Super Zeros and is entitled Peanut Butter and Jelly. Good night.
Peanuts and you crack them, crack them, peanuts, peanut butter, and jelly, peanuts, peanut butter, and jelly. Then you take the grapes and you stomp them, then you take the grapes and you stomp them, peanuts, peanut butter.
We opened its final audited girl you want over to buy.
You know what time it is now. You've got to eat it. You've got to eat it.
Donde grabamos los nombres de una mujer y de un hombre en las ramas de un guayabo.
Well, dear listeners, there you have it. Bumps and bruises and all. And I did my best to make it presentable to you. The recording medium I was using was a stereo component type CD burner that uses specially formatted discs. I was using rewritables and an extra cassette deck to capture the rest of the show, and then capture that on a second disc. Unfortunately, one of the rewritable discs was backskipping for some reason. faulty product. Oh yeah, and the Reverend wanted to know if I caught all of the Kitty Cat song. Yes, I have. And here it is. Good night.
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pussycat, Pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and pop.
And Jelly Peanut. Peanut Butter.
Pussycat, Pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and Pussycat know. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, Pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and Pussycat eyes. Pussycat, Pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your Pussycat eyes. What's new, Pussycat? Pussycat, Pussycat, I